Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. The Bible tells us of two types of forgiveness: God forgiving us, and us forgiving others. It is God's grace and faith in Jesus Christ that makes both types of forgiveness possible. Jesus is our example for forgiving others, and we must recognize that the Father forgives us for Jesus' sake, not because of our own merit. After the reading of Colossians 3:13 and Ephesians 4:32, Pastor Ray Viola will begin his teaching on forgiving one another as he prepared his congregation to observe the Lord's Supper. Colossians 3:13. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. And now, Pastor Ray.
There are two types of forgiveness that are mentioned in the Bible. One is God's pardon of our sins by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And the second one is our command to forgive one another. And this too is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. In the scriptures that Mark read, we learn that you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, have been given a divine example of forgiveness, as Christ forgave us and as the Father, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. God knew before the foundation of the world all the sins, and I do mean all, that we would commit. And Jesus is called the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundation of the world. And thus, God foresaw all of our sins and supplied provision for forgiveness for all of our sins. We could say that to atone for our sin, the Father emptied the bank of heaven. And he did that when he sent Jesus to deliver each one of us from the debt, the guilt, the condemnation, and the eternal consequences of our sin. And so our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ serve as our example of forgiveness. And Paul lays the grounds of Christian forgiveness explicitly in the example provided by the redemptive plan of Jesus Christ. So what is forgiveness? The word forgiveness means to excuse a fault, to absolve from payment, to pardon, to send away, to cancel, to bestow favor unconditionally. Now, I like that definition when it comes to God forgiving me. Don't you? That's the same definition that is to be applied of how we forgive others. And if there would be one word that could be used to describe it, it would be grace. I think it's important that when we talk about forgiveness, that we not misunderstand forgiveness with two separate issues: reconciliation and restoration. Those have conditions. Forgiveness is unconditional. Every single person here this morning has been hurt, offended, or wounded by others in the body of Christ in some way, shape, or form. And likewise, every single person in this sanctuary has been guilty of hurting, offending, or wounding others in the body of Christ. And thus, every single one of us has to come to grips with understanding the reality and the importance of the need to forgive or the need to be forgiven. Billy Graham once said that a vital component of a healthy marriage is that both the husband and wife must be two good forgivers. That is true. Because relationships can be so fragile and oftentimes flesh-driven, I believe that probably the most needed one another in our series is the command to forgive one another. So here's the problem, really, in a nutshell. And it's a problem that our adversary, the devil, knows all too well. When I am hurt, when I am offended, when I am wounded in any way, both the devil and my fleshly pride, that's a horrible tag team, the devil and our pride, turns the teaching of forgiveness to be a matter to being a matter of being right or wrong. And when I bite that poisonous bait, guess who is right most, if not all of the time? You guessed it, me. So you're the problem. Our flesh is incurably wicked. And the flesh will always want to get even or take matters into our own hands. But what says the scriptures? Look to Christ and the cross. Forgive even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So let's turn to the Master. Let's turn to Jesus. Let's hear what he has to say about forgiving others. Nobody taught more about forgiveness than Jesus Christ. In Jesus' teaching on how to pray, you recall these words, Matthew 6, 12 through 15, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Take note, beloved, that the only point the Lord emphasizes twice in this model prayer is what? The necessity of forgiving one another. The forgiveness from the Father that Jesus speaks of here is the forgiveness that affects our fellowship within the family of God, not the forgiveness that leads unto salvation. And thus, our understanding of biblical forgiveness is vital to maintaining personal and congregational health. If we refuse to allow the God-breathed Word of God to convict us, challenge us, and correct the incorrect ways that we think and behave and interact with one another, how in the world do you and I expect to have a healthy, meaningful relationship with Jesus and one another? How do we expect to share what it means to be forgiven to those who are lost if we do not apply the biblical teaching of forgiveness with one another? It's senseless. It's just words. If you've been a Bible-believing Christian for any length of time, you know that we cannot seriously talk about forgiveness without referring to Jesus' parable about forgiveness in Matthew chapter 18. It's not going to be on the screen, but I'm going to read you these words. Peter came to him. This is following his teaching on forgiveness. And said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents, but forasmuch as he had nothing to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the servants, the fellow servants, saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because you desired me. Should not you also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth. That's the King James. He is angry. And delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Peter asked Jesus, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? You see, Peter thought that he would impress Jesus by saying up to 7 times. For the traditional rabbinic teaching was that a person who was hurt, wounded, or offended only needed to forgive a brother up to 3 times. But Jesus said that we are not to forgive just 7 times, but 70 times 7, or 490 times. And by saying 70 times 7, Jesus meant that no limits should be set. And to drive home this truth, he tells this parable. A man owed an unpayable debt to his king. The king freely forgave him his entire debt. Having had his enormous debt forgiven, this same servant immediately turned around and demanded repayment of a much smaller debt from a fellow servant who begged for mercy. So what is Jesus teaching here? Jesus teaches us here that forgiving others is a matter of remembering how much God has forgiven us. The Lord was teaching that forgiving others ought to be in direct proportion to the amount we ourselves have been forgiven. The first servant had been forgiven all by God, and he should have forgiven the person that asked him for forgiveness. A child of God has had all their sins forgiven by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, when someone sins against us, we ought to forgive from the heart. No matter how many times the act occurs. And we'll get into this a little bit more in Luke chapter 17. The teaching of Jesus could not be clearer. Our Lord Jesus has given specific instruction in numerous passages of Scripture, all of which could be summed up in just one word, forgive. Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, anything, what does that mean? Against anyone? Who's that? No, don't get quiet on me. Don't become illiterate. Anything, anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins. Luke 6:37, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. And yet our flesh is always looking for loopholes. The old vaudeville comedian W.C. Fields had a serious drinking problem. He had destroyed his liver, but near the end of his life, his doctor told him he could have one drink a day. So some friends came and visited him in the hospital, and he had a jug this big. And he said, well, the doc says I can only have one drink a day. And I found a loophole. And in spite of the clear, no wiggle room teachings of Jesus on the subject of forgiveness, many people try to find some loophole or excuses for why their situation is unique or different. And because of that, they are bound this morning in the vice grips of bitterness, resentment, revenge, and unforgiveness. When it comes to forgiving others, God has not qualified one sin as being more grievous to him than another. And he has not qualified one sin committed against us as warranting forgiveness and not another. For example, God is not saying if a person lies to you or steals from you, you should forgive him. But if they abuse you or harm your child, you can hold on to unforgiveness. Anything, anyone. Again, don't misunderstand the difference between forgiveness with reconciliation and restoration. Two separate things. Jesus called the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18, what? What did he call him? Wicked. And what did he do? He delivered him unto the tormentors. Jesus did not say, send him to hell. Jesus is saying that unforgiveness is equivalent to the torment of living in hell on earth. Beloved, to not forgive is wicked, and the refusal to forgive will torment your thoughts, your emotions. It will affect, as we'll see in a moment, your health, and it will seriously affect your fellowship with the Lord and your prayer life. And know this. The unwillingness to forgive gives Satan a stronghold in your life. I'm going to read some passages that will not be on the screen, but in 2 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11, we read, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. There are many people in the body of Christ who have a twisted view of the Christian life and the teaching of forgiveness that exempts them from the clear consequences of sinful behavior or biblical warnings. We have to forgive. In Luke chapter 17, verses 3 through 6, Jesus speaking again. Nobody talked more about forgiveness than Jesus. He said, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day he turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, what I would say, increase my faith. Now, if you read the opening verses of chapter 17, you will see that not only does Jesus teach us as his followers that we are to avoid doing anything whereby we would be a cause of stumbling to others, he also teaches us to counter sinful behavior of others against us by how? Forgiving them. If your brother sinned against you, rebuke him. If he repents, he is to be forgiven. He does it seven times in a day. once every 3 hours and 42 minutes. So I offend my brother Paul, and at midnight I say, Paul, forgive me. You're forgiven, Ray. Then at 3:45 in the morning, I've done it again. Paul, I'm sorry. Forgive me. At 7:30 that morning, I've done it again. Paul, forgive me. Now, I can tell you what Paul would want to do. Want to get me by the throat. 7 times. Now, the number 7, of course, and I want to get into this too much this morning, is the number of completeness. In other words, we have to forgive from our heart completely. The response of the apostle to these words of Jesus on forgiveness was, increase our faith. So what is needed to forgive? Faith in God. The just shall live by faith. And Jesus goes on in Luke 17 to talk about all we need is a mustard seed of faith. A mustard seed of faith in the Lord's ability to forgive in me and through me. There is amazing power that God releases when we are willing vessels who submit to Him. Now, it's very important that we understand that forgiveness does not mean that you condone the sin or offense against you as acceptable. Jesus, in no way, shape, or form, is encouraging irresponsible behavior on the part of the offender. Jesus is teaching us the importance of reflecting gospel-centered forgiveness. Not one amen? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught us to love our enemies. Ooh. Bless them that curse you. Gulp. Do good to them that hate you. Check, please. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute. In other words, the faith that we have been given is radical. It's not of this world. So what do you and I do when someone hurts us, offends us, or wounds us every 3 hours and 42 minutes? The answer, look up at Jesus on the cross. Even as Jesus forgave you, so also do ye. In Mark 11, I mentioned this verse earlier, verses 25 and 26 we read, and when you stand praying, if you have aught against any, forgive, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. A condition of effectual, fervent prayer is a forgiving spirit. An unforgiving spirit will short-circuit the power of prayer in your life. It would be like swimming or running in a race with ankle weights on. And once again, remember that God only forgives us. He only forgives us for Christ's sake. It's not because we're deserving. That's the gospel. And if we are going to walk in the power of a gospel-centered life, then it is vital for us to forgive as we've been forgiven. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.